to have see everybody here this morning. We have a treat for you this morning. Bruce gets to sit and listen for a minute, and I get to sit and listen for a minute, and we have a guest speaker here. His name is Joe Wall. Joe is with us from Tipton's Children's Home in Tipton, Oklahoma, and he's here in our class to share with us the great work that's going on at Tipton Home for Children there in Oklahoma, and so we're grateful for that. And then he'll bring a lesson for us, and the lesson, as he says, is just a gospel message.
All my life we had the Tipton Home Messenger.
All your life had a Tipton Home Messenger, yeah. It's impossible to count the great work that they have done and the great work they continue to do. So we're very pleased to have that. Let's start with a prayer, if we could. Bow with me. Father in heaven, we're so grateful for the privilege to come before you and to lift up our hearts to you in prayer and know that you turn your face to us and that you always listen to us and you always do what's best for us. And Father, we're grateful for the day that you've given us. We're grateful for the season. It is hot, and it's supposed to be hot this time of year. So we're grateful to know that you have arranged the days and the seasons as you see fit, and we're thankful to see proof yet again that you are the God who is in charge. We're thankful for this chance to come together as believers in your Son and our Savior Jesus, and people who have shared the combined hope of spending eternity with you in heaven through our faith in him. We're thankful for all the men and women in your kingdom who serve and who use their time and their talents and their treasures to glorify you. We're grateful for the work that has gone on at Tipton Home for so many years, for the lives that have been touched, for the trajectories that have been changed, and we can ask you to continue to bless that work there. And we're grateful for our visitor and our speaker. We ask you to bless him as he shares a message with us. We offer this prayer in Jesus' name. Amen.
Okay. Wow. Whoa. Okay. That's loud. Well, I kind of feel uniquely qualified to speak about Tipton Home, and that is this. I came to Tipton Home when I was 3 years old, 1966. Do the math. That makes me 38. Okay. You have to do it real quick. That's 59 years ago I came to the home. And my mom and dad were house parents there. I was raised there. I either lived or worked there for over 40 years of my life. And so that's kind of who I am as far as connected to the home. So when you say, do you know or do you remember? Well, yeah, I do. I live there. I know those people. I remember them well. And so that's kind of one of the reasons I feel uniquely qualified to speak about it. It's because it has been my life for so long. The other thing, too, I wanted to tell you a little bit about myself. I am married, been married for 37 years. I have four children. A daughter is married to a veterinarian in his PhD school in Lubbock. I have a son that's the youth minister at Faith Village Church of Christ, another son that's a minister at the Ryan Church of Christ, and then another son that works for Spartan Races and travels all over, actually, the world setting up Spartan Races. So that's kind of my family in a nutshell. Who I am as an individual, I guess you could say, and why, you know, I could speak all day about the home and probably get lost in it. And a lot of things I do get lost in the home because I think, well, everybody knows that. I mean, don't you? I mean, that's kind of the way it is when you know something so well. It's kind of, you kind of brush over a lot of different things. But let me start at the beginning. Tipton Home didn't start in Tipton, Oklahoma. Tipton Home started in 1920 when a couple by the name of Brother and Sister H.B. Beach went in to the elders at Canadian, Texas, and they said, We want to take orphans into our home, 1920. We want to take orphans into our home. And so it wasn't long after that, they took a family in. And then about 6 months later, they went back to the other and said, hey, we can't do this anymore because they had about 30 kids in their home. And then they moved into, you ready for this? Remember, it's 1920. They moved into a condemned building. If you ever watched Pollyanna, the old one with Jane Wyman and all those people in it, you ever watched that old movie? That's kind of the orphanage we're talking about here. So they moved into this condemned building in 1920, end of it. And so that's the way Tipton Home got started. Also keep in mind, this is 1920. Have a lot of orphans in the world. Average lifespan is about 42, 43 for a man. A woman's not a lot longer than that. You had a lot of orphans because in 1920, and this is so hard for us to remember, not to remember, to even grasp what I'm about to say. You could wake up in 1920 with a toothache, and by Monday night, you'd be dead. Why? Because you don't have any penicillin. You don't have antibiotics. You have nothing. That's not created till later. So a lot of people just died of infection, of different things. I actually had a great, great aunt that died of dental work she had done. And that's why you did it. So things were a lot different back then. But anyway, the home was established there in Canadian, Texas. And they said, it came to them about in 22, and said, you've got to get out of this building. This building's condemned. You got to move your orphans somewhere else. So the guy by the name of Sweeney, he went around countryside. You don't call back then. You go around. And he came to Tipton, Oklahoma. He was looking for money. Money to put his home back in Canadian, Texas. And a guy, one of the elders there, a man by the name of Saul Tipton. No, just a coincidence on the name. No relation to the town. He donated the land that we're on today. He said, you build it here and we'll come. Now, in that time of day, that land was a lot to be said. I mean, that was a big deal to somebody just to give you land. So you build it here and we'll come. And they started building the home there in 1922. On my desk at my office, I've actually got the ledger books from when they started the building fund. This is off the subject, but you ever notice, you ever go back and look at somebody writing in 1922, they had excellent penmanship. So they started all of that back then. And so in June of 1924, they moved in to Tipton Home. We had a car dealership there named Star Cars. It was only in America for about 9 years. And those Star Cars, that dealership there in Tipton, went and got the kids and moved them to Canadian, Texas, and from Canadian to Tipton, Oklahoma. We celebrated our 100-year, I noticed on your bulletin, we celebrated our 100-year anniversary, March of 24. We actually had a Star Car there and gave kids rides around the place there doing it. So it was really a great time there to celebrate that. But that was 100 years, 101 years that we have been there at Tipton, Oklahoma. And that's the way we started. Now let me pause just a moment because we are in Bible class. I want you all to think about something. If you don't get anything, you know, I hate it when preachers say, if you don't get anything else, get this. Then they say what you're supposed to get. So do you just get up and go home? That's what you should do. I mean, hey, we got your point. Go home. No, but let me tell you something. Brother and sister H.B. Beach went into the elders and said, can we help orphans? They said, yes, you can. And you know why they did that? They did it so that 104 or 5 years later in Glenpool, Oklahoma, Joe Wall would be talking about them. No. They didn't have a clue as to what they were doing. My point is this. When you have an opportunity to do good, do good. Galatians 6:10 says, therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to what? All men, especially the household of faith. Do good to all men, especially the household of faith. And so they did good, not with the act of saying that, hey, we're going to make a legacy for ourselves. No, no. They just did good. And here's the point I want to make too. Your random act of kindness, whatever you decide you might want to do, guess what? You don't know the outcome of it. You're going to be long gone. We'll all be long gone. Wait, you mean this is a result of what I did back there in 100 years? Yes, you don't know those things. But whether it amounts to anything or not, we're still supposed to do it anyway. But that's a thought that has always crossed my mind. You know, here's these people. Over 3,000 kids have come through our doors since that time that we've helped feed, clothed, and more importantly, tried to point them spiritually to Jesus Christ. All because of that. So it started in 1920 in this building that we still have today. And this building is, I was actually in it this morning. We still use the buildings where our offices go. All of the home was all inside that one big building. It was just in March of this year put on the National Historical Registry. And so it all started in that one building. All the kids lived in rooms, like the boys lived in one, the girls lived in another, and they all had them lined up. You ever see the or watch the play Annie? You'll know, you know, that's the way they were lined up in there. Had a man in charge of the boys, girls in charge of the lady in charge of the women. And that's kind of, not kind of, that's the way we started. Everything was compact into that. The superintendent was upstairs. The cafeteria, everything was inside that building. And that's where we started in 1924. And then we rocked along there, and I'm skipping and summarizing, 1945-46, which is right after World War II, Frederick Air Base shuts down there at Frederick. Let me stop. How many of y'all know where Tipton is? Okay, well, you can't get there from here, so don't worry about it. Do you know where Altus is? Okay, 21 miles southeast of Altus, 50 miles west of Lawton, 70 miles west and up from Wichita Falls, Texas, 34 miles from Vernon, Texas. We're way down in the southwest corner of the state. Cows, cotton, corn, and dry, and heat and dry. And so that's the way we started. But then in 1945, the Frederick Air Base went out and they started giving us these Quonset huts and different buildings. And so that's the way we started with our cottages, our dormitories, kind of spreading around. And then they asked the question, by the way, our board is still our elders of Tipton Church of Christ. I think we're the only ones left that have it arranged that way, but I'm just telling you, that's who are the same ones that were, well, not the same men, but the same setup back then as who we are today. So they started with the idea, and they thought, is this the best way to raise children? No, no. You see, God wanted it to be a mom and a dad, husband and wife, and dare I say, that means male, female. I think we all agree with that. All right? That's what God wanted it to be. So they started with the idea in the 50s and 60s of making cottages, making dormitories, making it to where we would have house parents. And some of the first house parents that were there were my parents and some others. And there's some before that. But that's kind of when we broke into it. And they built these cottages around a half-mile circle, which is still our campus today. And then in the late 1990s, they started tearing some of them down because they built most all of them with something called a flat roof. I don't know what any of you do here for a living, but if you're in construction, you build something with a flat roof, shame on you. Because I don't understand it, but we've had trouble with flat roofs. We always did. They tore some of those things down and they built us nice cottages, put on metal sloping roofs on other ones to where we are today. So our facilities are really nice today. We have four cottages. We have eight kids in a cottage. We have 16 boys and 16 girls. We have two relief cottages. So we have a total of six cottages that are totally operational right now. Kind of five and a half, really, because we're missing one now because we need a set of house parents, but we're still operating it fully at six. So we do not take any DHS kids. We do not take any DHS kids whatsoever. All of our kids are put there by private placement. They do not give up their parental rights, and those are our kids. And that's where I want to really, you know, I spent too much time on all the other mess, but that's what I really want to focus on, because you don't care about the buildings. You don't care about the star cars. What you really care about is what we're doing today and the children we're trying to serve today. Now, Tipton Home, when I came in 1966, there were kids that were put in there by court order. All the way up to 1979, they were put there by court order. Judges would put them in Tipton Home. 1979, you might not realize this, but there was a big scandal in the state of Oklahoma. Big scandal. All the children's homes were corrupt. There was some that was really, really bad in the middle part of the state. There's even been some stories written about how bad they were. And so basically they shut everything down. They said, no more. If you want our kids, you have to be run by the state or mix it with the state. You know, if you want our kids, you got to have a license. You got to do what we kind of say to do and those sort of things. And so after that point, our kids started, it was harder to get kids. Now, we take in kids. The children's home is always in flux and always in flow, always changing. Different things about it's always changing. It's not the same as it was 5 years ago or 10 years ago. You got to get used to that idea, because people who go there and then who work there, who live there, once they cross the line and come back, they'll always, well, I remember, I did. Maybe you did, but that's not the way it is today. It's the same way it is this church building. You know, this church building, I dare say, and I don't know this, but I dare say there's a lot of you meeting in this church building. You didn't always grow up meeting in this church building, because this church building wasn't here. You know, there's another building somewhere, right? So it changed, didn't it? So things change. The home changes. But there's one thing we haven't changed. When we get a child, our number one goal should be, always should be, to lead them to Jesus Christ. That's been the goal from the beginning to end. How we get kids and where we get them has changed. Now let me lead into this. First of all, let me tell you about children in America. 0 to 6, you're a third of the way through raising them. 6 to 12, 2/3. 12 to 18, you're done. So from 0 to 6, they're just babies. Can't get on to them. 6 to 12, just a phase, they'll grow out of it. And at 14, when they're found in a stolen car and the sheriff's knocking on your door at midnight, it's not so funny anymore. Before 2018, because things changed after 2018, before that, the average age of the child coming to Tipton Home was, I just gave you a big clue, 13. And do you know what parent that we found that was putting, which family member I could say, that was putting them in the home? Anybody want to guess? Close. No. Who said it? Grandparent. Grandmother. We have one there that is a great-grandma that's put them on there. She's on oxygen in a wheelchair, and she's put them in there. And I said, hey, if we take this kid, what are we going to do with him? What's going to happen if granddad or all these... They won't. They won't. They're either dead, drugs, prison, all the way generations down. Grandmother. Grandmother. Yes, grandmother. That's not unique to Tipton. That's who we are as a society. The other thing too, if I have a child, and I don't have many parenting skills, I don't have the church as a foundation. If I have a child and they're acting up, and they're just terrible, and they're getting kicked out of school and everything, what are we going to do? I'm going to take them to a doctor. I'm going to put them on medicine. Number one, still not working good. We're going to put them in a facility. That's a psychiatric facility. Now they're getting out. Number three, what are we going to do? Call Tipton Home. That's not what we deal with. That's what it is in America today. That's who we are. Now, here's the problem that we ran into at the home. The people I talk to on a weekly basis, or sometimes even more than that, they're not the people who I need to be talking to, are they? I mean, you might know of a family that needs our services. Most of the families that need our services aren't going to be in church. Just putting it bluntly, we need to be out there. So what's their first call? Their first call, if they're in trouble, is to DHS. And when they call DHS, we're out of the loop. We're done. I'm not knocking DHS. They do the best they can. I'm saying that, you see, so we're in a conundrum of we have trouble sometimes, or used to have trouble, getting children to need our services. Now, before I go much further, I need to tell y'all that no matter who you are in the state of Oklahoma, if you're in child care, you do have to be licensed by DHS. What does that mean? We do background checks. I do fingerprints. We do CPR. I have to have 12 hours of continuing education. The house parents have to have 24 hours of continuing education. There's all sorts of different things. And I have to do a background check on me, and I have to do my fingerprints now every 5 years. Every 5 years I have to do it. So those are just some things. They come and inspect us 3 times a year. They just look over our files and make sure everything's up to date and go through every room in the facility, checking fire extinguishers, those sort of things. Then they leave. That's a good working environment for us. That's a good relationship with us to deal with them that way. Now, getting back to our kids, I'll tell you about our kids for just a second. Our kids are, we are the lowest level of child care in the state. Okay, we don't have, you know, we don't have barbed wire fences for our kids. We do for our cows, not for our kids. Okay, that's the way it works. We don't have bars on the window. Our kids can walk to school. They can walk home. They can walk to the convenience store. We just got Dollar General, so we're really moving up. But they can do those things. They are the lowest level of child care. You know, we don't do the therapeutic care. We don't do any of the other things that there's a big need for today. We get calls all the time. One recently, one kid was, 11 years old on 7 psychotropic drugs out of Mercy Hospital. Another grandmother was about to get her kid out of a facility, and she said, "He's a danger to us and himself. Help us." That's not who we are. But I tell you that to tell you, if you ever want to get to a mission field, that's a big mission, therapeutic care is. They need help. Those are the kids we tried to help in the past, and it just didn't work. And those kids need more help than we do. Our kids are the lowest level of kids that we have. We are Tipton Home. We're at 1000 North Broadway. 1000 South Broadway is the school, public school. All of our kids attend the public school. We're a town of 750. We play Class C football. We've won 10 state championships. We've won the last 3 in Class C. That's 8-man. Not that that matters, but we're involved in all the things that Tipton has to offer: football, basketball, volleyball, softball, track. And I don't know how many of y'all here from here, from Glenpool or from Tulsa and all, but one of the biggest things we have there, because it offers leadership skills, it offers speaking skills, it offers different things, is our FFA program. They're involved in FFA, and because of that, because of the different things it offers, it's all involved in that. So our kids all attend down there at the public schools, and they're involved in everything, everything they have to offer down there. And that's kind of the way we keep going. Now, let me just put this little sidebar into you. You know, it's a town of 750, right? You know, I've been there since 1966. Everybody with me? So if you've ever been involved in a small town and you've been there for all your life, what do you got? You're either kin or you know everybody. We know everybody's dog. We might not know their name and know who the dog belongs to. That's pretty true. Now, what about the school? Well, high school football coach is my nephew. His wife also is a teacher. My brother-in-law, one of the elders on the board, he's the high school basketball coach and the math teacher. Oh, my sister, she also teaches. The ag teacher I talked about, he grew up with me over in the Ham House Cottage. The grade school secretary is my sister-in-law. We also got connections in the grade school. So I don't know if that's a good thing or if you want to pray for our kids, because they really can't get by with much. The other thing, too, half the other people there I went to school with know them. They've known me, and we know each other. So it's a very close-knit society. We work close with school. School works close with us, and we try to get things going in that direction. And so that's a good thing. But our kids do attend the school there. I just want to say this, though, again, going back. If we teach a child to gain all the state football titles in the world and get all the grand champion pigs or be a great speaker and do the FFA creed and do all those different things, what does it profit us? Doesn't Matthew 16:26 say it? What's it profit a man if he gains the whole world and loses what? His own soul. So one of our missions we try to do the best is to point our children to Christ. That's what we do. Now, I've got several minutes left, so I'm going to pause just a second. What questions do you have for me? Yes, sir.
Your last statement, do you require your kids to go to church on Sunday, every Sunday, Wednesday night, Sunday night? Is that a requirement, or did you use that as a suggestion for your children?
Oh, no, that would never be a suggestion. I won't work there if it's a suggestion. They all go. That's our mission. I mean, our board's still our elders. We're still one. We're not, I think maybe what you might be referring to is one that takes state money, and then you can suggest, but you can't force them. Yeah, well, we don't take state money or federal money whatsoever, so yeah. And I want to say this. I know of other children's homes that are really struggling with getting house parents, and they're having their people that are coming in sign statements of faith. Well, if I have to go to that, I won't be there either. I don't want people there that sign a statement of faith. What is that anyway? I mean, I've seen some of them. You know, oh, I believe that. Okay, no. You're either a baptized believer in Jesus Christ or you're not. You either believe what the Bible says or you don't. I don't care what statement you sign. You just sign a statement of faith so you can find a job. I know that's cold-blooded, but that's the truth, isn't it? So I'm not going to go down that road. Is it tough? Yes. It's been over almost 2 years to get our last set of house parents. And we're looking for one now. Looking for a set now. I just came back from polishing the pulpit in Branson looking for house parents. Just always. And you say, well, it's a big turnover. It is somewhat. Seems like we have a big turnover, but then we have others that stay forever. So it's really a hard deal on a house parent. And I'll say more about that later. Now, like I said, for us to find kids, we have to find kids wherever we can find them. We want to be full all the time. We want to have 16 kids, 16 boys, and 16 girls. That's what we want. Now, right now, I don't know how many we have. I know that when school starts, we'll be close to 30 or 32 kids. I brought some kids in over the... I brought them in... whatever day it was, Friday of this week, from where we get them, and I'm going to explain that. We went for so long, struggling to find children that we could minister to. We went for so long, we would take kids, and Crystal and Eric can certainly tell you this, take kids that had more trouble than what we could deal with. We'd take kids just trying to think, well, maybe we could help them, and then we don't have those kids anymore. We couldn't help them. We weren't qualified to help them. The other thing, too, in 2018, we had all but about two kids on psychotropic drugs, all of them. Mm-hmm. Now, we don't have any. What did we do different? Or we have one, but I don't think we have any now. What did we do different? Well, in 2018, a gentleman came into my office and saying, hey, we need help with our culture and our kids. And what this guy was, he called himself a Liberian missionary, whatever that is. And he was from Fargo, North Dakota. And the Liberians came over here in 1996. President Clinton gave them a political amnesty. They've had it on every president since, but they're all Americans. And don't think they're the illegal immigrants that we deal with. That's not what we're talking about. These people came over in 1996, and their culture and all has settled into Fargo, North Dakota, Des Moines, Iowa, Sioux Falls, South Dakota, Louisville, Kentucky, and Houston, big pools of them. And he said, we need help. We need help with our kids. And so we started taking these kids, these Liberian kids that they're not Liberian, they're American, they're Liberian descent. We started taking these kids in that situation. And that's where we went from psychotropic drugs to zero. We went from having kids that we were taking. I was probably making, over the course of a year, I'd make three suicide runs a year to four. What's a suicide run? Kid says, I'm going to commit suicide. He cuts himself with a scraped up quarter. That's how bad our kids were. Take them to the emergency room. And then from the emergency room, they got to find a facility. I came all the way here. What's the one in Tulsa? Is it Shadow Mountain? There I was, 5 a.m., drove all night to get the kid here. That was on a Friday. I picked him up, I believe, on Monday, and he was a zombie. He was just a zombie. They just drugged him out. That's what I was dealing with. We were dealing with kids that were... I hate to even go back to think about some of those stories. There were all kinds of different stories. That's who we were getting. That's who we were dealing with. We've gone from that to 3 years ago. They were vice president, secretary of the FFA. We got one just came back from Washington, D.C., was in the FFA course. We've got some that, you know, are in college now and doing great things. Or doing better things. I'll put it that way. Some of them still struggle. That's what we've gone to. We've changed over to. Now, I'll pause your question. I'm glad you asked that. No, we do not have a program. And I'm so glad we don't have a program. We take a child, if they give them to me at 7 years old, what our goal is at Tipton Home is take them through high school and take them all the way through college if they will let us help them. That's our goal. Other children's homes do have programs. And the programs are usually to reunite the parents with the child or to get the parents a job. And sorry, we live in Tipton, Oklahoma. That Fargo to Tipton is a 15-hour drive. Unfortunately, I've made it too many times. So that's our real mission. That's our program. We take them from here all the way through. That's our goal. And I know that's different, but that's still our goal from 1924. We want to take these kids. The reason they're with us is because I don't care no more what they say, it's still better here than where you were. Now, let me explain some things about the Liberian culture. It's different. I have a child on campus right now. He has a brother and two sisters now on campus that I just brought to him Friday. All four different mamas. The idea of having babies is what they do. And they don't see that as wrong. I wrote in Christian Chronicle, if you read the article, they interviewed me about the 100-year anniversary. I said, all of our kids come from broken homes. There's one of the fathers who wanted to sue us. Came all the way from Fargo in our office, wanted to sue us for saying that. It was one of the parents. But the woman with him wasn't the mama to the, kids. But they don't see that as broken. I know. They don't. They see things differently. They look at things differently. And that's a cultural thing that we're still trying to fight and deal with. Now, all of our kids aren't from there. I mean, we've still got some from Davidson, Oklahoma, Fort Worth, Texas, and did one from Duncan. So it's not like we take exclusively them. But those are the ones that we can minister to and we feel like we can lead to Christ. After a child has been at Tipton Home for 2 years, two and a half years, has a general rule, and I don't know why, the previous administrator figured this out, they'll obey the gospel. They'll obey the gospel. And so that's kind of what we deal with and who we are. It has been an enormous, and I'm still learning, their culture, their hair, their skin, and how to deal with those different things. Really different. So different than what ours are. But just way of telling you how things have changed. In December? Yeah, December of this year, we went to Faith Village Church of Christ. They put on something. Anyway, I was speaking, and I had one of the guys get up and speak, and he told about Tipton Home. That's how far we've come. Not perfect. Not perfect by any stretch. We're still struggling. We're still trying to figure things out. And I think it's because we deal with humans. And so I wanted to tell you that. But guys, let me tell you some other things about about children in general. And it's ours. We do not let our children have cell phones until their senior year. And when they're seniors, they get to have cell phones. And we have a dummy cell phone on our social services lady's desk. And that cell phone is connected to all of theirs. We know who they are, where they are. We know what they're on. We know what they're doing. Some apps are not allowed. Some apps are allowed. Some are, that's the way it goes. They are on it from 7 a.m. to 10 p.m. That's when we've got the automatic turn on, automatic turn off. Now, our first group of kids to do this was 2 years ago. We didn't have any last year. We had 4 or 5 this year. 2 years ago, this was the first group to do this. And so we knew that one kid was going 93 in his car, so we took his cell phone in his car away for a month. And still didn't do it. He ended up wrecking it anyway. But anyway, that's another story. And this particular kid, you remember now, I told you it's on from 7 a.m. to 10 p.m., right? And so he'd get it at 7 a.m. It would come on at 3:30. He would be out of his time. They got 4 hours a day. Where was he using his time? School. We knew. We could see. He's on video games. Still getting his homework done. I don't know. I'm glad it's no cell phones now in schools. I don't know how that's going to work out for everybody. But anyway. That is kind of where we were. Now, I will tell you this. Those kids are not dumb. Because it was 7 a.m. to 10 p.m. Central Time. They went in and changed it to Pacific Time on the end and got 2 more hours. Yeah, that our first group did that. So I thought, man, can't be mad at them. They're pretty... You know, it's one of those things when you look back as an adult, why didn't I think of something like that when I was a kid? Anyway. But that's kind of what we're doing. Now, I want to tell y'all something else about cell phones. I'm looking over the audience. I know who I'm talking to. If a cell phone goes off today in the audience, you want me to tell you who it's going to be? It's going to be somebody 40 years of old age or older. That's whose cell phone will go off. Kids' cell phones are never on. They are never on. Why? Because they're always looking at it. They don't have to have it on. One. Two, if you'll notice, there's a lot of you either don't have your cell phone with you, or your cell phone is in your purse, or your cell phone is here, right? Right here. Because what do we see it as at our age? We see it as, this is a tool. This is just a tool, just like my pliers if I'm working on a fence, just like, you know, something like that. Where's theirs? Either right here or it's on their body. On them like this. Why? Because it is part of them. It's an appendage. Had a 15-year-old girl, I'll use the name, and Aaron Chris might remember, Dakota. She came in after being on vacation. She said, "Mr. Joe, I'm going home." "Well, you're 15 years old." "Okay, Dakota, you got a boyfriend?" And she's from Tulsa area. And she came from a very bad situation. I said, "Dakota, you know you've got a bad situation. What's the boyfriend's name?" "Oh, no, not a boyfriend. Not a boyfriend." "Well, why are you going home?" She reached on my desk and she said, I get one of these. It's hard for us at our age to imagine that. That's how much it means to them. If I'm sitting in the office, say we've just had devotional and all kids around, and somebody says, "Mr. Joe, Friday night for the ball game, what's the weather going to be?" And I do this, okay? And I do this. You'll have to watch it from out there. And I do this, pull out my phone, and I say, "Weather for..." Look up. You've got 8 kids behind you, hunched over you, because this screen's out. That's how powerful this is. Now, if it's so powerful, Joe, why are you giving it to them? Well, wouldn't I rather give it to them and try to teach them the right way to use it instead of just, "Here you go. You just graduated here. Here's the world. Here's all your pornography. Here's all your gambling. Here's all your drugs. Name it. It's right here. Right here. Anything you want. Right here." So we try to teach them the right way. We try, our seniors get to drive to school. We want them to drive to school. We try to get them to drive to school and to learn to drive. Don't want to throw them the keys to a car right as they're going out the door. It's the way we used to do. You know, we'd rather have them some experience, try to get them going in the right way. Now, I did have a lady in Clovis, New Mexico come up and ask me, and I thought about it later, you know. But so now you do teach them to balance the checkbook. And I said, no, I won't teach them to balance the checkbook. I'll never teach them to balance a checkbook. I've got 4 kids. None of them ever balance a checkbook. Why would you balance a checkbook? Why? You do not write a check. All I've got to do is turn it right here. And I've seen my kids do it. "I got this much money." That's instant. If you write a check to Walmart, you do realize they run it through the thing. It's instant. It's no different than using a debit card. It's instant. That's why they can say, "Hey, this isn't any good." Because they're checking it. It's instant. Everything is instant like that. And that's what we've got to get in our minds, that just because, you know, our kids are over here doing all these things, and we've got our minds set on what used to be, and that is true, it did used to be that. Now, I do have to balance a checkbook for the tipped at home, because that's all we do is checks. Sometimes takes 30 minutes, sometimes takes 3 days. But, so, that's a whole other thing. That's for the business side of it. But for a personal side, these kids nowadays, they don't have to have it. It's automatic. But I don't have a lot of time left. I want to tell you all this. If we are going to make a difference in these kids' lives, who's going to make it? Is it going to be some director sitting across the table at them? No. When they come back for alumni weekend, do they come back to see the director? No. Come back to see who? house parents. That's the one who raised me. Deuteronomy 6, 6 and 7, right in there, it said, lay these laws, or it might have been Leviticus, I think Deuteronomy. Lay these laws upon their hearts when you rise in the morning, when you walk along the road, when you're working in the fields. Let me put that in modern version. You lay these laws upon their hearts when you're playing basketball, when you're feeding the pigs, when you're weeding the garden. That's when you do it. I can talk to a kid all day long across the desk, and he's, I can take him somewhere and do something where their buddy's with me, or we go do something together, I'll get 1,000 more information out of them. That's just the way we are as humans, and kids are really that way. They'll open up to you. Spend the night with them sometime. Watch a movie late at night and see how much they'll open up to you and talk to you. So it's the house parents who make a difference in these kids. And so it's 4 o'clock in the afternoon. You get a phone call from the office and say, hey, we got a 15-year-old kid here. He's going to come live with you. Where are they on my scale? 0 to 6. 6 to 12, 12 to 18. Yeah. You've got 3 years to undo the most formative years of their life. And the more studies I read and understand that age 0 to 1, 2, is critical. That's why God made a woman, built her the way she did. Hold the baby. Hold them. Some kids are never held. Go do it yourself. And that is so important. So what am I saying? Do what James 5:16 says. Therefore, as we have opportunity, let us do good to all men. No, that's not right. Confess your sins one to another so that you may be healed. I don't like that part. Next part. The effectual, fervent prayer of a righteous man does what? King James, availeth much. Other versions, it's powerful and effective. Pray for our house parents. Pray for them. Because if our children are going to make a difference in the world, and if we're going to make a difference in children, it's going to be them. Pray for them. And then also pray, obviously pray for our children. That's the business we're in, of taking care of children. And I hate to end on negative, but I don't want y'all to get a false impression. We don't bat 1,000. Yeah, our kids put on the Lord in baptism, but do they keep attending church? Some do, but it's slim. And I've made this statement before at churches, and members of the church have come up and say, Joe, that's the church as a whole, you know. And I don't mean that, but I want our kids to not only have to be baptized believers in Jesus Christ, but also I want our children to have a relationship with Jesus Christ, to know that when they get out, that's where it is. That's where we're supposed to be. But we don't. Like I said, we haven't perfected that yet. My time is up. And hey, if you got any questions, I'm here to answer them. I appreciate the time. I appreciate being with you. And I'm done.